I did that out of tradition to ask you and have a seat, and I have to tell you, I think I'm probably going to take a step on some eggshells, but I'm going to do it anyways. At sports events and other celebrations, I enjoy singing the national anthem and standing and my hand on my heart. But again, we get in the midst of a worship service, and something seems to take a little more precedence than the presence of God. I get a little nervous. And so if we stand when the flag comes in, I have a sense that when we read the power and the presence of the words of Jesus Christ, that we need to stand as well. So I would invite you to stand for the reading of the gospel this morning. We have these words from Luke chapter 10. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. And Jesus said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into the streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me. And whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." And Jesus said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for these words, for their teaching and claim upon our lives, for the good news that they offer to us this day. O God, as you send us forth into the world to faithfully be your disciples and your church, we pray that your Spirit will rest upon us and prepare the way as we go. O God, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For we ask and pray in Christ's holy and precious name. Amen. On July 15th, 1986, Roger Clemens, a sizzling right-hander for the Boston Red Sox, started his first All-Star game. In the second inning, he came up to bat, something he had not done for years because of the American League's designated hitter rule. He took a few uncertain practice swings and then looked at his pitching opponent, Dwight Gooden, who the previous year had won the Cy Young Award. Gooden wound up and threw a blazing, white-hot fastball past Clemens. And with an embarrassed smile on his face, he stepped out of the batter's box and looked down to the catcher, Gary Carter, and said, "Is that what my pitches look like?" Now, Carter had an opportunity there to really fluster the guy and say, "No, yours only come across half that speed." But instead, he said, "You bet it is." And although Clemens struck out very quickly, he went on to pitch three perfect innings and to be named the game's most valuable player. And from that day on, he later said, with a fresh reminder of how overpowering a good fastball is, he pitched with far greater boldness. Sometimes we forget the Holy Spirit within us and how powerful our witness can be. The gospel has a supernatural sense of power, and we can speak it with confidence. These 70 were chosen by Jesus and the disciples, and they were sent out in teams of two to go to the places where Jesus would later go. They were well reminded of the power and the presence that went with them and went before them. We are not told that they debated anything with Jesus about where they would go and how they were supposed to travel. They were given a task, they went out, and they did what they were asked to do, announce the coming of Jesus. The Christ is in our midst. They knew what they had to do, and they simply went out and they did it. July 4th, 1952, it was a foggy morning, when a young woman named Florence Chadwick waded into the water off Catalina Island. She intended to swim the channel from the island to the California coast. Long-distance swimming was not new to her. She had been the first woman to swim the English Channel in both directions. The water was numbingly cold that day. The fog was so thick that she could barely see the boats in her party. Several times, sharks had to be driven away with rifle fire. She swam for more than 15 hours before she asked to be taken out of the water. Her trainer tried to encourage her to swim on, since they all knew that land was close at hand. But when Florence looked, all she could see was fog. And so she quit, only half a mile from her goal. Later she said, "Now, I'm not excusing myself, but if I only could have seen land, I might have made it." You see, it wasn't the cold or fear or exhaustion that caused Florence to fail. It was the fog. Many times we also fail, not because we are afraid or because of the peer pressure or because of anything other than the fact that we have lost sight of our goal. Maybe that's why Paul says in his letter to the Philippians in the 3rd chapter, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. 2 months after her failure, Florence Chadwick waded off the same beach into the same channel and swam the distance, setting a new speed record because she could see land. My friends, we never should lose sight of our goal. That we are sent out like those 70 in today's scripture reading to go forth and to preach and to teach and to share, to proclaim and to live the good news of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, that we then might also watch Satan fall from the heavens like a flash of lightning, for the forces of evil have been dethroned, and indeed a new age has begun. And so, with a sense of newness, might we begin again and rededicate our lives today to the gospel of Jesus Christ as we share in this holy meal of grace and forgiveness and a meal of new beginnings. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the words of the Gospel of Luke. Might our goal always be to remember that we are sent out to live, to share, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And now, O God, for all that is past, forgive us. Wipe away our sins of those things done, those things undone, those things spoken and unspoken. Might we begin anew today. For it's in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that we ask and pray. Amen.